Good morning. As you can see, I'm back. So the rumor that I fell overboard is not true. All right. We had a great time. Thank you so much. I know that many of you prayed for us. It was just a great, great trip. It was fun watching our kids and our grandkids enjoy a week on a Disney cruise. Well, you can say what you want about Disney. They do things right. The food was good. The activities were good. I mean, it was just a great, great time. So thank you for praying for us. It's good to be home. It's really good to be home. All right, if you're here this morning and you have a bulletin, take it out. We need to go through some things. There is no Sunday school today because Robert is gone, our adult Sunday school teacher. He'll be back, I think, sometime today, but he wouldn't make it back in time for this morning. Shame on him, right? I made it back in time for today. Okay. Don't tell him I said that. He'll probably listen and he'll probably hear that. Anyway, so tomorrow night, 7 p.m., ladies' Bible study here at the church. This is available for all ladies here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. You don't have to be a regular attender. If you are a recent attender and you have the time available to come and join the ladies for Bible study, that'll be great. Tuesday, men's Bible study here at the church, 6:30, same thing applies. If you have the time available, men, to come and join us for Bible study, that would be great. Wednesday, Joy Bible study here at the church at 1 p.m. Joy stands for just older youth, but you don't have to be an old person to be able to come and join us for Bible study on Wednesday at 1 p.m. here at the church. Thursday night is Awana. It is Frisbee night. Our kids are going to love this. They're going to have a great time, so that'll be good. Just a few reminders. Next week, we will be observing communion, which also means that we're going to receive an offering for the Benevolent Fund. If you have questions about the Benevolent Fund, come and ask me after the service, and I'll be happy to try to give you an answer. If I don't know the answer, I'll make one up, and we'll keep going. All right? Just kidding. All right? So on the information table out in the front, we have these little seven Easter reflections put out by Our Daily Bread. They're there for you to be able to take and use for encouragement this Easter season, or if you know somebody that could use some encouragement, take one and use it that way. 2 weeks from today, Easter breakfast. Whoa, that's a big deal. Here, our Christmas breakfast, our Easter breakfast, as well as our church family dinners once a month are a big deal here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. We're going to begin with breakfast at 9 a.m. sharp. Can you say that with me? 9 a.m. sharp. What time is breakfast on Easter? 9 a.m. is wanted every crowd. Okay. We tried this whole week. We tried to rein her in. We did our best, but you know, there's just some things you just can't accomplish in life. Okay. All right. So 9 a.m. sharp. The church is going to provide the egg casseroles. Okay. By way of Jared, and we're so grateful for that. But we need you to help complete the meal. So there are two sign-up sheets out on the information table. One for you to help bring food. The second to let us know that you're going to be coming and how many will be coming with you. We know that some of you might be having guests come and visit you for Easter. And so if you want to bring them to Easter breakfast before the service, please let us know that. So those two sign-up sheets are up there as well. I just want to take a moment. I listened to the sermon last night that William gave last week, and I just want to thank him for filling in, and he did a very, very good job. Very good job. And so thank you for those of you that were here. My sermon today is not called Damage Control, by the way. If you weren't here last week, you have no idea what that means, but anyway, it's not called Damage Control. I was tempted after hearing the sermon, but I decided we wouldn't go there. All right. Are you glad you're here this morning? I know that I am. I missed you so much last week. It is so good to be home. It's so good to be in our church. It's so good to be with our church family. And I'm excited about being able to worship with you once again. Are you excited about worshiping too? Let's get after it, worship team.
Would you all stand with me this morning? We're going to sing all about how great and mighty our God is, the mighty fortress, the one we can run to, our strength in time of need.
A mighty fortress.
fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, ye amid the flood, of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel aid, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. World with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for being that great and mighty fortress that we can run to. Thank you for preparing a future and a hope for us. Lord, something that we don't have to live in fear. We can live in confidence thanks to you. You are our strength when we're weak. You are our all in all, and we love you. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Please be seated as we continue. This morning, we're singing about how great God is, how great Jesus is, but that doesn't mean that we live in a perfect world and that life is always great. We still go through battles, but thank God he's already fought those battles that lead to victory. When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. My foes are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, my help is on the way. Oh my God, he will not delay, my refuge and strength always. I will not fear, his promise is true, my God will come through always, always. Trouble surrounds me, chaos abounding. My soul will rest in you. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. Oh, my help is on the way. Oh, my God, he will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. My eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Oh, my God, he will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear, his promise is true. My God will come through always. God, we thank you for being so faithful, so steadfast, that we can declare with certainty that you will come through always. Thank you, God, for being who you are. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving us a basis for hope, a basis for confidence. Lord, we love you. We sing these songs today, or maybe some of these words we may not know perfectly, but Lord, we can sing from our hearts that we love you and we're confident in you because of who you are. Lord, we love you. Amen. Our usher is going to take this morning's offering. We got one more song about how great he is. Oh, the priceless gift you are to me. Mountain of my sin you washed away. Oh, the miracle you made of me. The shadow of my night you turned to day. And I'm in awe of how much you love me. I'm so in awe of how much you love me. So much, you're more than enough, and I will live to worship you alone, because you are greater than any other love. You are greater than any riches of the world. You are greater. Countless are the thoughts you have of me. My first and final days are in your hands. Unthinkable that you would call me friend. The words things that you deserve cannot exist, and I'm in awe of how much you love me. I'm so in awe of how much you love me. I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you've done. You have loved me so much. You're more than enough. And I will live to worship you alone. 'Cause you are greater than any other love. You are greater. You alone. There's nothing that compares to you. No one can compare to you. There's nothing that compares to you. I can't give you enough for all you've done. You have loved me so much. You're more than enough. And I will live to worship you alone. 'Cause you are greater than any other love. You are greater.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. Isn't that your story? You can't thank him enough. You can't praise him enough. You can't live for him enough for all he's done for you. You all understand, right? That praising him, living for him, doesn't equate to our salvation. Our salvation comes because we believe in what he's done for us on the cross. We have been given a gift of eternal life because of our belief in what Jesus has done for us. We are so grateful for that this morning. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you sent off to Children's Church. Good morning. I like your necklace. All right, let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for the fact that we could lift our voices in song to be able to tell you how grateful we are, for all that you have done for us. And Father, you did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. You went to the cross to pay the debt of sin that we owed because we could never pay it ourselves. And Father, all you ask is that we just believe in your Son, that we believe in him for the promise of eternal life. We are so grateful for all that you do for us. And Father, thank you for being that strong tower that the Bible says that all we have to do is run into it and we will find safety and security. Father, for that we are thankful for as well. So Father, I just pray that as we hear your word this morning, Father, that our hearts and our minds will be open to what you have in store. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. I think we're going to get finished with Genesis chapter 1 today, but no guarantees, okay? Because I'm not in charge, the Holy Spirit is. So recently, the population of our planet topped 8 billion people. Now, I don't know how they can figure that. I haven't figured that out yet. And I don't know what one's birth put us over that $8 billion mark, but over the top. But it's fair to say that humankind has kept at least one of God's instructions, which is be fruitful and multiply. And if you don't believe that, go on a Disney cruise where you are surrounded by children. And Disney, I found out, has 6 cruise ships. So you do the math. 6 cruise ships, lots of children, lots of parents, lots of grandparents, maybe great-great-grandparents. You know, I kind of had this dream before we went on the cruise that Becky and I were going to be the oldest people on the cruise. Yeah, we weren't. There were people older than us watching their kids and their grandkids enjoy all that the cruise had for them. But there were kids everywhere. And so I just think it's kind of neat that there's at least one instruction that God gave humankind that they are still following. Be fruitful and multiply. Well, hopefully by now you've found Genesis chapter 1 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 28 through 31. And God blessed them. Who did he bless? Male and female. He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So because everyone is made in the image of God, every person on the planet matters to God. And because every person on this planet matters to God, every single one of us have been given certain responsibilities. So as we come to the end of our study in Genesis chapter 1, I want us to review the main themes of what we have learned so far. The first thing we've learned was to move forward in our faith. We must go back to the beginning. The second thing, Genesis has a big beginning because God is a big God. When God says it, that settles it. Remember learning that? We can see God's provision and providence, that he is powerful and personal, and we respond to him with praise. God forms and fills his creation for his glory. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Did you get the little word? 3 letters? 4 times mentioned in just these 2 verses. The letter all. So class, does all mean all? Yeah, it does. God created them all. Whether we see them or not, whether they're thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Remember, we talked about the fact that that means you're not the center of the universe. So if you thought you were the center of the universe, you could just change your mind right now. Change your heart. Okay? God's the center of the universe. And he is before how many things? All things. And in him, all things hold together. Another thing we learned was because we are image bearers of God, our purpose is to reflect, reveal, and represent him. And that is especially true of us who are believers. In God's superior design, he created everyone as male and female, only 2. So these are the things that we've been learning as we've been in chapter 1. So being made in God's image means that we have a personality, a sense of morality, spirituality, and the responsibility to respond. Because we have a spirit and a will, we have dignity and value. There is no one like you, and there will never be another you. You can try to change the appearance. You can try to change your attitude and your actions and the way that you think, but there will never be another you, because that's the way that God created male and female to be. And so this has at least two ramifications. First, unless you are in a right relationship to the Creator, God, through your belief in Jesus for the promise of eternal life, your life will lack meaning and purpose. And then second, you will never look into the eyes of someone who does not matter to God. You will never look into the eyes of someone who does not matter to God. So our main point today is that God has a main responsibility for us. In verse 28, God begins by blessing Adam and Eve, and God blessed them. And this word bless in the Hebrew means to enrich and to endow. And it comes from the ancient practice of weighing coins on a scale to determine their value. To bless has the idea of recognizing worth and adding value to someone's life. Interesting, men and women are not the first created beings to be blessed. Remember in verse 22, God blessed sharks and sparrows? And in the New Testament, the word translated bless is the Greek word elegio, from which we get the word eulogy. Oh, where do we usually hear a eulogy? At a funeral, or a celebration of life, or a memorial service, or whatever it's called. The word elegy means to celebrate someone by paying tribute through giving high praise. Because God has done that for us, what does it say? He blessed us. Then let's make sure that we celebrate those around us. And folks, let's do that before they die. Let's do that. Let's bless them. Let's be a blessing to them. Let's show them and tell them over and over again how much they appreciate us before they're not able to hear it. They're not able to enjoy the blessing of having that spoken about them and to them. So let's make sure that we celebrate those around us. Now, just because we're blessed doesn't mean we're to sit and soak, be sour or stubborn. God blessed us so that we will be obedient and so that we will bless others. Do you see how that works? God has blessed us so that we will be obedient to bless others. So we're going to see that God gives responsibilities to men and women. And this is often referred to as the creation mandate. So let's spend some time talking about our responsibility. Here's the first responsibility: be productive. If you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, this is point number one: be productive. How do we know that God wants us to be productive? He says, be fruitful. Now, the idea of being fruitful is prosperous or growth. What is God saying to Adam and Eve? He wanted them to have children. God's word refers over and over again to children as a blessing. From conception on, children are made in the image of God and are given as a blessing from God himself. As fellow image bearers, we affirm that babies are blessings, not burdens, and must be protected from all hurt and harm. Are you ready for this? Especially beginning in the womb. Here's the second responsibility that God has given to us. That's to procreate. How do we know that? He said, and multiply. The next responsibility is to multiply, which refers to what? Abundance. God brought Adam and Eve together to reflect his image, to represent him, and to reproduce offspring, and then to train them to be godly. Listen to Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? Talking about who? Adam and Eve. And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. So one of the purposes of marriage between one man and one woman is to multiply the human race by producing offspring and then training them to be godly. He's given us, as humans, that responsibility. Here's the next responsibility. Occupy the earth and fill the earth, he said. To fill has the idea of finishing or satisfying. God did not just want two image bearers. Y'all see that? Y'all get that? His desire was for the entire earth to be full of people who share his own image. The purpose for people to fill the earth is so important that God restated it after the worldwide flood. And that's recorded for us in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1, where it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" So the blessing of the creation mandate is linked to the responsibility to multiply and reproduce. Now, we need to understand that God has the power to give or withhold children. His purpose is for married couples to have children. Now, having said that, it does not mean you are not blessed if you are single, or you struggle with infertility, or you choose not to have children. He issued the instruction for people to be fruitful and multiply. Verse 28. But he's the only one who makes that happen. Y'all understand that, right? God has a purpose and a plan for everything, and nothing or no one stands in the way of his purpose and plan. God creates a life, he forms it, and breathes a conscious soul into it. He chooses to begin that process with the union of a man and a woman and completes it within her womb. And as Psalm 139 so truthfully declares, he knows every moment of every life. From conception onward. Here's the next responsibility. Overpower barriers. He goes on to say, and subdue it. Now, the word subdue here, especially in the Hebrew, doesn't necessarily mean control or dictatorship, but rather to bring under cultivation. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? We are to study God's creation so that we can understand how it works. Now, some of you are better students at that than I am. Some of you have a green thumb. I don't. I have white ones. I can't grow anything. I've tried. I've painstakingly tried. I've done everything that I know humanly possible to be able to do it, and it doesn't work well for me. But we're to study God's creation so that we can understand how it works. This is part of God's blessing and responsibility for men and women. And I know that there are women that are great gardeners and farmers, and I know that there are women who are and men who are great gardeners and great farmers. And I'm thankful for that. Aren't you thankful for that? Every time I sit down to eat a meal, I'm so thankful, right? The last couple of weeks, Michael's had stuff from his flower garden outside for us to be able to take and plant. I didn't take any of them for two reasons. Because even if I'd have taken them, they wouldn't have grown. Because I just can't do that. And second, I live in an apartment on the second floor. I don't have any place to be able to grow stuff like that. And so wouldn't be good. But as stewards of God's creation, we are to use the earth's resources to serve God, others, and ourselves. Let me say that again. As stewards of God's creation, we are to use the earth's resources to serve God, others, and ourselves. God has made us to be gardeners and governors who grow and govern his world. We are to serve as vice regents, as kings and queens of his creation, as wise and kind stewards of what he has entrusted to us. He's entrusted that to us. Did he need Adam and Eve to cultivate his creation? No, he didn't. He could have sustained it. But what did he say to them? Subdue it. Understand how this creation works. And how do we know that Adam and Eve did that? Well, we don't have to go very far. And we're going to see this when we talk about Adam and Eve's two sons, their first two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was a farmer. He grew vegetables. Abel was a rancher. He took care of livestock. And so how did they learn? Who did they learn from? Well, obviously, I think they learned from their mom and dad, don't you think? How this creation works. And then they passed it on to others. And then we come down to Noah. And God had told Noah to build this big boat. We're going to talk about that when we get later on in the chapters of Genesis. And he had to be able to bring enough food on that boat and to be able to continue to have food on that boat, because they couldn't leave the boat to go to Winco and do shopping. So that means he had to know how to grow things on the ark. And the ark had to be big enough for him to be able to grow enough food for all of the animals that God brought and for his family that God brought to the ark, right? And in anticipation of the entire population of the world at that time, because the ark was big enough to be able to handle all of the population of the world at that time who wanted to come and be on the ark because they believed in what God said. But sadly, there was a whole lot more room on that ark, because a lot of the people in the known world at that time didn't want to what? Believe God. And what happened? They perished. Only those who believe God enough to be able to go into the ark. Could others have gone into the ark? Absolutely, they could have. But those are sermons for another time, for several weeks down the road, or months, or whatever the case may be, right? But how did Noah know how to be able to do that? He learned it from those who came before him and passed on what? That information of being able to cultivate the creation that God had given. Wow. So that goes back to what I said a few weeks ago, that when God created the animal kingdom, when God created male and female, humankind, he created them already with intelligence. That intelligence did not have to happen over hundreds of thousands or billions of years to be able to develop. Adam and Eve had intelligence to be able to what? Cultivate God's creation. And then pass that on to those who came behind them. And then those who came behind them had the intelligence to be able to take what it is that they've learned and be able to what? Sustain their lives as well as the lives of others. Wow. God is so wise. God knows. Right? God is not a God of disorder. He's not a God of chaos and confusion. He is a God of order. And from the very beginning, he set this in place so that it would be, what? Orderly and be passed on from generation to generation. All right, here's the final responsibility I want us to look at this morning. Employ management. He goes on to say, and have dominion. As part of creation care, God has given us dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, some like to use this verse as a command to go fishing and hunting. I suppose there's a direct application there, okay? Or maybe an indirect application. Take it as you want. Now, dominion is not the same as domination. We should not abuse the environment, animals, or our fellow image bearers because we are to manage God's creation for his glory and the good of others. As part of God's provision, he provided for his creation in two ways. First, God gave food to humankind. Verse 29, And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is in the face of all of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And the word behold here creates expectation and gives clarity. God is the giver of everything we have. Remember the reminder in Acts chapter 17, verse 25? He himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And this is also mentioned in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So evidently, Adam and Eve were vegetarians. They enjoyed fruit and grains, which is why in their honor, I've been eating a lot of strawberry ice cream. Now after the flood, God gave clear permission for humans to eat meat, which is why I enjoy hamburger, steak, and bacon. Just trying to do my part. Don't judge. Remember Jesus and two angels ate beef when they visited Abraham? Genesis chapter 18. The priest ate meat as part of the sacrificial system, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Jesus ate roasted lamb at the Last Supper, Luke chapter 22. And he ate grilled fish on the beach, Luke chapter 24, verses 42 through 43. Not only did God give food to humans, he gave food to the animal kingdom. Look again at verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. It's exactly how God said it was to be. So apparently, the animals were also vegetarians before the flood. Nine times in these verses, we see the words every or everything, which emphasizes God's abundant and generous provision for all humankind and for the entire animal kingdom. Seven times here in Genesis chapter 1, God calls his creation good. And the Hebrew word for God or for good is tov, which means well-pleasing. So after surveying all that he had created, God makes a declaration of praise. Look at verse 31 again. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It went from good to very good. So let me ask you a question. If something is very good, does it have to be improved? No. God said his creation is very good. So in hundreds of thousands of years or billions of years, do you think his creation really needs to be improved? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It does not. God looked at all of his creation. He's finished his action of creation. And he says it is what? It is what? It is what? So the next time you hear some scientists say that they are trying to figure out how long it's going to take for this creation, these lives as we know them, to be improved, just walk away. Just turn it off. Just tune it out. Because God looked at his creation after 6 days of his creative action, and he said, it is what? And if it's very good for God, then it ought to be very good for who? Thank you. Thank you so much. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Wow. So what do I want you to take away from this morning? God has given us a purpose. Are we doing our part to fulfill the purposes that he's given? Some of it is age-related. A lot of it has nothing to do with age. It has everything to do with obedience. God expects us to do it so that we will enjoy fulfillment, joy, and spiritual effectiveness. So as we leave here this morning, let's leave here being about fulfilling the purposes that God has given to us, male and female, to be able to do. Father, I pray that you will help us, that your Holy Spirit will give us the understanding, will give us the what we need to be able to fulfill these responsibilities that you have given to us. And Father, I am so grateful that at the end of your creative works, you looked at your creation and you didn't just say, I did a good job. You looked at your creation. Some of it spoken by your very word. Some of it being formed by the work of your hand and receiving life from the breath of your nostrils into their nostrils. And you looked at your creation and you said it was very good. And because it's very good, it doesn't need to be improved upon. Father, help us to be able to take your word at what it says, to believe it, to stand on it, and to live it, no matter what the culture brings our way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
One more time, just your voices. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Have a great week as you lean in his everlasting arms.